Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christmas edition of Rob's Tabletop World podcast. Today is actually, it is 12/21/22. So all of you that are getting ready for the holiday, and we're gonna talk quite a bit about this coming up here. Just a funny little note real quick. of all things, I actually... took and I just decided to jot down some notes because I thought last week was a little scatterbrained of me to do. So I said, well, you know, it doesn't hurt if you just throw in a couple of notes there and stuff like that. So what do? I decided to clean up the studio for once because the studio has been such a disaster and it's been hard to kind of really get things ready. And during this vacation that I have, that starts today, I wanted to do some live plays and I wanted to make sure that I can do all the things that I wanted to do and be able to switch things out. I mean, I have a table that is 8x12. And so, you know, for big miniature games and, you know, you can run two games at the same time with big imprints and things like that. And especially when I'm recording, if I don't have time to do it, you know, so forth and so on. So I jot down these notes and I decide to clean this thing up and change it. Because one of the things, if you ever notice when I do a live thing on YouTube, I'm looking one way to look at the comments because of where I had put the monitor when we first got in here. And then I'm talking, you know, I'm never looking in the camera. So I decided to redesign the whole setup here. And in doing that, I threw out my notes. So I had to go out and they are soaked. I'm looking at wet notes here, but hey, that's all right. We'll get through it. The first segment here, you know, now that I explained how messed up everything is, I wanted to talk about a couple of games I took a look at this week. I had a game come in called Bag of Dungeons 2, Curse of the Forest. Now, Gunpowder Studios makes some really, really very good, smart games. They're a small little company, but the thing that I found is they put a lot of heart into it. And Bag of Dungeons, I discovered, I want to say about 2 years ago, and I decided to just kind of take a look at it live because I like taking a look at games that are smaller. They're not, you know, everybody's not making the same video over it. Okay. I mean, eventually people, you know, catch up and stuff like that. And it's not that I'm, let me make a video that nobody else is making. It's, I like independent games. I like little surprises. And I found a lot of games that way by just checking out the smaller games instead of trying to cult of the new it or get that biggest game that's come out. And do that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I buy everything under the sun and I enjoy it for sure. But Bag of Dungeons 2 was a follow-up to Bag of Dungeons, of course. And I have to tell you, I'm going to tell you right now, go to Gunpowder Studios. A matter of fact, today a video goes up that I did of Bag of Dungeons 2. Check it out on YouTube. This is something special. Now, the only problem that I've had with this game is that the solo rules, and they play exactly the same as the regular rules. And here's where the problem is. You are using action points and your character is going to be allotted a certain amount of action points. So if you're playing just one character and you're going through this forest, what's going to happen is that you are going to kind of get, how can I put it? You're going to go through your AP and then all you do is just reset it and keep going. So it doesn't make the AP doesn't mean anything. So I changed the rules a little bit. You'll see it in the video. It's not to insult those guys or anything like that, because I did complain about it in the original Bag of Dungeons, not complain about it, but I just said, you know, there's got to be a better way to do this. And I put it in a monster phase. And I think it really works and it adds a little, it makes the game a little harder. And if you're playing solo, that's what you really want. You want something that's going to be tough, challenging, that's going to give you a hard time. And I think this really adds it to it. Now, it's a home brewed thing, but I really think it adds up and does a great job. And, you know, maybe they adopt it. Maybe they say, hey, you know what, this is a pretty good idea. Or they could tell me to go jump off a cliff and never send me another game ever. That wouldn't be the first time, folks. Wouldn't be the first time. But it was nothing to be critical. It was just something, an adjustment I made to make the game a little bit more fun. But this is something that I'm telling you, the reason I like it so much is it is a forest setting. And then there's certain tiles in there that if they come out, you can actually attach a dungeon to it. So you can make it look like you're going through a forest and then you go down into a dungeon area. Now, this gives you all kinds of different possibilities to do things and make things really, really unique and special. And this, for me, really just the combination of the game just does such a fantastic job. It really, really does. And not only that, the game is fun beyond belief. This time you are trying to find seedlings and bring them to this particular mother oak, and it's the story, the campaign, playing individually, playing co-op, playing against each other, really works in this fantastic little game. Bag of Dungeons 2, A Curse of the Forest, from our good friends over at Gunpowder Studios. Be sure to check it out. Another game I got in, and I immediately started painting it and getting it ready to do over this, hopefully this vacation holiday, is Skyrim the Adventure board game. The miniatures are beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. Okay. The gameplay, I really like how it feels like Skyrim. I liked it so much, I went to my Xbox and I downloaded Skyrim. And I've been playing that late at night, believe it or not. And I never finished the original Skyrim. As a matter of fact, I don't think I got very far at all. And now I'm kind of moving along in it. And it's because of this board game. Because I'm playing both at the same time. And I'm very intrigued by the board game, which is making me more intrigued with the video game, which playing the video game brings me back to being even more intrigued with the board game. If that makes sense at all. They just did a fantastic job with this. There are 1,000 videos out there to check out. I'm going to be doing a couple of videos on it. I'm going to do the tutorial. My boy Jay Play. Guys, check out. He did a tutorial video that came out. I believe it was last night. I decided to watch it. What a fantastic talent he is. This kid is just great. And he doesn't have the number of followers that he deserves. Please, if you get a chance, go over, check out Jay Play. You know, not that many people listen to this, but you know, if he gets one or two from me, you want to know something, I did my job. And then, you know, maybe it spreads, maybe those people spread to that and so forth and so on and help him out, because I really think he's a talent. Him and Ricky Royal should be through the roof. I mean, really through the roof as far as channels are concerned. He should be right up there with some of the best, for sure. You know, not in ham and egg area like me. And I am a ham and egger. But you want to know something? I'm having a good time at it. And I think that's the most important thing that you can ever do, for sure. So without further ado, that's the two games that we took a look at this week. We've got more coming in this week. So next week, we'll be talking about more games on the podcast, of course, and on the channel, of course. So without further ado, why don't we head to segment two? Hey, everybody. Segment two here. Now, this is a little different, and it comes with a little story, as most things on this stupid podcast does. It's amazing. Like I've said 1,000 times, it's amazing that they let anybody make a podcast. Okay. because you know, anybody that can figure the technology out can have a podcast. And hey, look at me. I have a podcast, right? Of all things. Figure that one out. So I was at Walmart the other day. And the queen was picking up some things, some extra things that we needed and stuff like that. And I go over to the video aisle. You know, they got those big, huge bins and stuff like that. And I was sifting through there, taking a look at some of the older movies and saying, well, I got that, even though it's $5. Or, you know, the DVDs are cheap now because it's becoming an extinct thing. I'm going to buy an extra Blu-ray player. And I'm always going to have something that I can utilize these DVDs and things that I have. It's kind of like the VHS tape. It's going away. Everything's going to streaming. But what happens if all those streaming things just completely go away and don't exist anymore? You know, and it made me think, you know, in a lot of ways, which isn't what this segment's about, but I'm going to expand on this a little bit because that's what I do. I go off on tangents at times. But, you know, all these things that have all these streaming things that can stream these movies, or movies that just go to stream and never come out on video, they're not tangible. They're not in your hand. They're not in your possession. You don't own them, even though they tell you they own them. It's like an NFT or whatever the heck that is. Do you really own it? What happens if there's just all the servers in the world just go down for some reason? Can it happen? The chances are very, very slim, but it could happen. Will the backups, what if the backups fail? You know, all the things that you think you have backups. Do you have backups to your backups? You know, you just never know. And for me, I always just like having tangible things. So, well, especially when it comes to movies and things like that, you know, I take it very personally in a way. Maybe that's the wrong word for it. But I take it to heart that, you know, these things are in my possession and they mean something to me, and I'm always going to have them in my possession. And that really works for me. So I buy up everything. So I have like a million Blu-rays and DVDs. I've got, you know, old stuff that you can't even get on DVD, you know, the old 50 sci-fi stuff and so forth and so on. But as I was looking through, I didn't find anything. So I just went over to another section and I started looking at some of the newer stuff that was out there. And I found this box set, and it was Doctor Who. Okay. And this is just kind of, And this is where this subject comes up. And it had from Christopher Eccleston all the way to Capaldi. Okay. And not the, Jody. It didn't go all the way up to Jody, but it was all that. I think it's like 146 episodes and Christmas specials and stuff like that. And it was $29.99. Now I have all that stuff, but I could not help but buy that. For some reason, it was just like, oh my God, it's so affordable. And it's a backup to my backups. And I can give the other stuff to my daughter if I feel that, you know, I need to. I mean, it's like 15 DVDs and stuff like that. And I started thinking about how long Doctor Who has been around. And I started thinking about how long Godzilla has been around. You know, they've both been almost around the same amount of time. Godzilla is a little bit older. And they've had their points of being relevant and non-relevant, okay? And I wonder how they hold up with people today. You know, are people still watching Doctor Who? And, you know, Doctor Who goes through high points, low points, and it's like 60-year existence. But whenever they change a doctor, you know, there's always this resistance to change. And now David Tennant is back. So now it's risen again. It really fell with Jody. Now, let me make one thing perfectly clear here. Okay. It wasn't that there was a female Doctor Who. No, I was excited for it as much as anybody else. I thought it was a neat little change. I like when they did Missy instead of the Master. it breathes life into something, you know, that's 60 years old. Okay. It's a nice change. The problem was, and the reason Doctor Who fell and almost became non-relevant again, and is because the writing was horrible. I mean, this guy tried to erase the history of Doctor Who. Another thing that drives me absolutely bonkers with Doctor Who, especially lately, is the Daleks, the Cybermen, they don't mean anything. When the Doctor used to run into them, there was this complete horror because you didn't know if he was going to survive it. You are only as good as your villains, okay? And the nastier and the more the villain tests you and puts you in positions or you lose sometimes and you don't come out of it or you barely just get by the skin of your teeth, it makes the hero more relevant. If he's just not, you know, dropping dialects as like you drop popcorn on a movie theater floor, it diminished the villain. And they did the same thing with the Cybermen. You know, there's a lot of great lore and villains and stuff like that. But if you make your villains so terrifying and so tough and the situation so impossible, that's one of the things that was magical about it. And take a look at the different doctors there's been. Parowie, which was kind of like the James Bond version. A lot of these missions were earthbound. Okay, but he was put in positions that were just absolutely just almost impossible to get through. And yet somehow the superb writing, you got through it. Tom Baker, you know, when he left Earth and all those missions and things that to overcome, you know, the supporting characters, how you built them up properly. You always paid homage to the people that came before you. This last writer did not do that. And now with Davies back and Tennant back, they have a chance to fix it. But I really feel bad for Jodie because I thought she was fantastic as a doctor, but she just didn't have the writing to back it up. And she's going to get a bad rap for that. And I don't blame her for leaving. It would become very frustrating. I thought she was special, but when you start adding all this kind of stuff that trying to change things because you think it's going to make things better, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, there has to be some sensibility. There has to be some things that go forward, but always pay homage to the past. Even the doctor that comes after David, this gentleman is coming in. You know, I'm excited to see him, what he has to offer. Not because he's black, not because, you know, it's a first on Doctor Who. It's what can the writing do for him? What can he pay homage to the Doctor, okay, and do it correctly, okay? Can we have situations that are exciting where we're on the edge of our seats instead of trying to make statements? And that's where I have a problem with it. And that's why, you know, they're trying to make it relevant when all you have to do is pay homage to the past. It hasn't always been that way. You know, and when we compare this to Godzilla, we can say the same thing. The original movie, what was it? It was a political statement against nuclear destruction. What happened to Japan? It was, hey, you know something? Look what happened to us. And these are the horrors. And Godzilla represented that horror. He really did. And then, you know, you went into the next phase where Godzilla was, you know, it became very cartoony in a way. You know, you had that, you know, he became like a hero and kids loved him. And, you know, he wasn't this unbelievable horror. And then the next phase where he went back to that, you know, Godzilla 1984, you know, there was some space in between there. And then you had, you know, 84 and up to Final Wars, and you thought maybe that was it. And why did they end it there? You know, there were a lot of great stories in between there where Godzilla was just nasty. And he, you know, he's another one that really, really, really benefited from great villains. I mean, fantastic villains. You can't say villains. You could say that they were the heroes to some extent. Mothra, Ghidorah, Rodan, you know, all those things. Yeah, there was a couple of goof movies in there. You know, the one with the little kid there. and of course, Son of Godzilla. You took it for what it was. It was a lot of fun. And I think that's what really worked for it. It was just a lot of fun. And that's what worked for me as a kid. You know, I just loved the whole monster rubber suit thing and how that all worked out. I mean, I always thought it was absolutely fantastic. But there's also this, you know, when I think it was 1999, The Abomination with Matthew Broderick, which I will never forgive him as an actor ever, ever, ever. He's dead to me. That embarrassment, that Zillow movie that they made, which was Godzilla Jurassic Park, which was such an embarrassment. It was an absolute embarrassment to the franchise and pretty much almost killed it forever. But then all of a sudden things kind of took a different turn. We got another, Legendary took it, and they did a pretty good job. I thought the first Godzilla was the lowest point out of that series because it was more about the guy, you know, the special forces guy. And, you know, Godzilla was in the movie for about 9 minutes and it was kind of disappointing. The villains weren't that great. The Mutos, and he went, well, you know, this is really good. And you were kind of happy that they paid homage to the older movies. Like I said, with Doctor Who, you have to know your past. You have to know your past. You can't reinvent things. That Zilla movie, the first American Godzilla movie was an embarrassment. It was an embarrassment because it paid no homage at all to the past. And that's what happened with Doctor Who. Now, you know, these Legendary movies have been very good. What they did with King Kong, you have to have great adversaries. You had Ghidorah. Rodan came back. Mothra came back. And they did a decent job with them. King Kong versus Godzilla. You know, that movie, the original one, which I thought was a sin. Godzilla should have won it. All of a sudden he can deal with electricity. I mean, come on. So Godzilla actually should have won that King Kong movie, the latest one that came out. And I was happy with that because it was kind of, now they're 1-1 at least. And Godzilla lost a lot in a lot of these movies. You know, he's fighting in the sea and then something, carry on. Oh, there goes King Kong. Where's Godzilla? Oh, he must've beat him under the sea. You know, you never see how it ended. You know, the same thing with a Ghidorah. He flies off and Godzilla's in the sea, trapped under the sea, or trapped in rock, or there's a volcano, or, you know, whatever, you know. But Godzilla's always been my boy. But these two science fiction masterpieces kind of parallel themselves, you know. When Japan came out with the recent Shin Godzilla, how good was that? But it was different. It paid homage to, but it made it scarier. It was frightening. And it did a fantastic job of what it did. It really shined. It really made a fantastic difference. And I thought it was a masterpiece in a lot of ways. And now they're not going to do that, but they are making another Godzilla movie from Japan. As well as they're talking about King Kong Godzilla 2, which did, you know, for everything that when that movie came out, it came out during COVID when you couldn't go to a movie theater and it still did very well. Can you imagine if it came out normally? You know, with things normal, I think it would have done fantastic. But these two series parallel each other. They're both on the upswing. And here they are, you know, 60 and 70 years later. Well, that's my phone, folks, not yours. It looks like Franco Harris passed away. Those of you that are football fans, the great Franco Harris, the Immaculate Reception, passed away today. We wish him and his, rest in peace. And we wish his family nothing but the best. I'm so sorry to hear that right now. So that's breaking news here on the podcast. A fantastic athlete. Was it actually a Seattle Seahawk at one point? So we still love him, even though I hated the Steelers. But we're not going to get into that. But these two fantastic series on the upswing, and, you know, both relevant after all these years. You know, there were times when you thought they would become irrelevant and they would fade and that would be the end. But they just kept going. And I'm just so impressed with this. And there's nothing but excitement in the future. So I would love to hear what you guys think on this subject. And please email me at novaprime860@hotmail.com. We'll read your comments and stuff like that here on the channel. And there you go. Let's head into segment three. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to segment three here on Rob's Tabletop Podcast. Rob's Tabletop World Podcast. Yeah, that's what it is. You know something, I want to thank everybody for the support that they've been giving. I mean, as far as just listening to this, it's meant a lot. I want to make sure that I got this up on Wednesday. So if you're traveling, and please be safe, there's supposed to be some bad weather throughout most of the United States, or even if you're overseas traveling, just be careful. Take your time, keep your eyes on the road. And maybe you just listen to this podcast while you're driving. You know, maybe it knocks an hour out. You know, I'm trying to keep these things to anywhere from a half hour to an hour or more, depending on what I got to say. You never know with me. But what this next segment is about is, listen, we're a couple of days. Today's the 21st. We're a couple of days away from Christmas. And I wanted to talk a little bit about this. And the thing I want to tell you guys, as I take a sip of water, is, first of all, to all of you that celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Now, we celebrate Christmas here at the Oren House. And for us, it's a very, it means a lot to us as a holiday. It's a lot of remembrance. It's a lot of being thankful in a lot of ways, just like, you know, Thanksgiving, but a different type of thankful. And it's a religious holiday for us, okay? But I think the thing I want to say is that the most important thing about this time of the year, it doesn't have to be this thing where we have to eliminate Christmas, okay? You always hear that. I think everybody should have their own special time, whether you believe in anything or you don't believe in anything, okay? Whether you're Jewish, where you're, you know, any type of religion, you know, your time is special. But we all should take time and be kind to one another. I think, you know, this time of the year for the people that believe in religion, in Jesus Christ and so forth and so on, should think of the people that don't and not force it down their throat and say, oh, well, you know, this is the way, and wave a Bible at them. What I think they should do, okay, is be kind to somebody. That's the best thing that you can ever do. Is be kind to one another. No matter what people believe or don't believe, this is a time when we should strive for the one important thing of all, and that's peace on earth. there's so many of us. And like I always tell you, it's a funny thing. You can't have good without bad. Okay. All right. There cannot be light without the night. Okay. But the most important thing is that we are kind to one another, that we love one another, no matter what, no matter who they are, how they are. If we can do that, if we can bring kindness to everyone, you know, maybe there wouldn't be so much bad. Okay. Maybe there wouldn't be so much division. And I think around this holiday time, which I really enjoy spending with my family, it's been a very, very tough year. And I've mentioned this quite a bit on the YouTube channel and everything else, you know, moving to the farm here, losing my mom, some of the tribulations and trials that I've had with that. And overall, just having a very, very, very trying year, that I take this moment in time. And as I sit here filming, recording this podcast, you know, I think how blessed I am to have all of you in my life. Okay. You know, I was looking at the demographics. It's kind of funny. You know, I have a certain amount of males. I have a certain amount of females, certain number of binary or whatever. And, age groups, I was surprised to see that I had people in their 20s that listened to, you know, an old fart like myself. And then, you know, older crowds and how many women listen and how many males listen and so forth and so on. And it just shows me that it's just a huge mixing pot here. And for me, I think that's so important that we can all just come together and enjoy our time together. We all have something in common, no matter how different we are. Whether it's we have 10 toes and 10 fingers or things like that, but we also all have a lot of things that are different. And being accepting to those differences are very important. Being accepting and kind and taking, you know, this time of the year, or maybe, you know, depending on what your beliefs are, any other time of the year, just taking that time that means so much to you and thinking of those that are different from you. Those that need your compassion and caring. And I think that's the most important thing that you can take from this holiday season, okay, New Year's included, is being happy, sharing some happiness with people, wishing people the best in the coming year, wishing people nothing but moments with their families, and even those that don't celebrate this time of the year, bringing some kindness to those that might be alone. No matter what, those that may have a hardened heart, you know, showing kindness. Because sometimes in people's darkest hours, they just need a little kindness. And if we can do that, if we all can just take a moment and be kind to one another, this place will be so much better. It has a chance to be such a wonderful planet. It really does. We can do so much if we just do things together, no matter what our differences. There are just some things that we can't solve, all of us, because there's no right answer. There's always going to be a gray line in certain things. But if we can take a look at the way people see things from both sides and come together and come to an agreement, we may not always agree with it, but if we can respect each other, the division won't be that bad. It's okay not to think the way I think. It's okay not to believe what I believe. But do I want to see you flourish? Do I want to see you happy? Do I want to see you not be alone? Some people like to be alone, but I mean, for the most part, I just want to see people smile and be thankful and to be kind to one another. And for that, for that is what I hope the most for. I absolutely hope the most and the best for each and every one of you during this holiday season. For those that celebrate it, Merry Christmas. For those that don't, I wish you nothing but peace and happiness, and just enjoy your friends, your family. Take a moment to take a look at the people that you love and just smile and be thankful to have them in your life. Because tomorrows are never guaranteed, folks. Tomorrows are just never guaranteed. Just take a moment and enjoy each other. And I wish you all the very best this holiday season. We're coming back with our last segment, and that's letters from you guys. And I'll be answering those right after this. Hey, everybody, back to the final segment here on Rob's Tabletop World podcast. You know, it's a funny thing. I am trying so hard to learn how to do this. And some of the cheesy music that's in between here, I use Anchor by Spotify to do this. So I'm trying to figure out how to tape and do podcast or tape a whole podcast and add in, you know, my music and stuff like that, and have intro, outros, or commercials or whatever in this. And I'm hoping to get to it. I mean, I've only been doing this for 3 weeks, even though this is episode 4. We did a little introductory for about 9 minutes, and then we did 3 episodes. And it's been an experience. So if you got some of that weird in-between music and you go, what the heck is that? Just know I have no idea what I'm doing and really trying to get through this somehow, some way. For sure. It's been an adventure. That's for sure. We're going to go through some letters here and then we're going to get on out of here. And, we're going to wish you nothing but the best. I actually got something in the mail, this week, and, it's really kind of cool. I actually got a CD. It's called Available on Vinyl and CD. Big for His Age 2. I haven't had a chance to listen to it, but these guys is an original retro rock album by Rex Anderson. And Big for His Age, an Arizona-based band collaborating with musicians around the United States. Pretty cool. They sent me a very nice, they sent me the CD, a t-shirt, excuse me. And then I got this wonderful Christmas picture. And a matter of fact, if you want to send a picture of yourself, we're putting it in the background of our YouTube channel, all the pictures of everybody that follows us. And it's from Alex and Valerie. And I want to thank them so much. It was so kind of them to send this to us. It's a picture of them playing Swords and Sorcery with a Season of Greetings hat on Alex. And Valerie with a little elf hat on. So it's really, really, really cool to see. And it looks like they're just having a great time in their game room and they're just enjoying themselves. That's for sure. So I want to thank them. Happy holidays to them and their family. And check out Big for His Age 2. I'm going to be listening to it. And I want to thank them for sending that to the channel and here at Rob's Tabletop World. You can email some pictures if you want to send some pictures of you and your family to novaprime860@hotmail.com. My good buddy, Graham Tastic, who's a friend who sent me a very wonderful letter. It was kind of personal, so I'm going to leave that to myself, but I wanted to make sure that he knew about that and that I got it. And it's absolutely fantastic. He went through a very, very, very tough time. I'm going to tell you that much. And to get that picture of him and his new family, just it just warmed my heart beyond human belief. Just a great guy who's been around on the channel for quite some time. And, you know, you pay attention to that kind of stuff. You know, you're just always happy to hear and see from people that have followed you and commented and emailed you and that you've talked and done a lot of things. And he sent a beautiful picture that will be going up on the wall as soon as I print it out when I go back to work. Graham, thank you so much. What a beautiful family. His wife, Courtney, and children, Olivia and Sammy. And I can't wait to see you at Gen Con too, my friend, as I plan on going this year. So I'm very excited about that. I got a wonderful message from Candace Harris, who wants me to go on the BGG podcast with her at some point, which I'm really looking forward to. I told her, yeah, I'd love to go on there, but you know, she's going to have to come on this podcast because, oh, what an interesting and fantastic woman she is. Just, you know, every time I've spent time with her, you can't help but leave smiling. She just is one of those people that, is just very special to me. One of the best and brightest points of Board Game Geek is Candace Harris. Just a phenomenal talent, someone who is just constantly just loves games and her passion for it. She's not there making statements or this, that, and the other. She just shares her passion of loving board games. And what more could you want from that? I mean, that's just, isn't that what it's all about? And I look forward to going on there. I'll let you know when we go on there. And then we'll get her on here as a guest and have her hang around. We'll talk about board games and stuff like that and all the other fun things that she does in her fantastic, wonderful life. We did get a couple of letters. I've already read a couple of them off. Oh, I forgot one here wanted to include. Matthew Dobson, another longtime follower of the channel, sent an email here and was telling me about a game that I need to check out. And I'm trying to find, I didn't print it out this week, so I'm just going through my emails as I'm talking to you. Here we go. It says, hi, Rob. Oh, wait, hold on here. Why is this all Skashad, as I said. Hi, Rob. I thought this might interest you. This is a game I backed in 2016. Now, he's the one that told me about Stars of Keros. And the name of the game is Whelps to Worms. Explore the new world as a dragon hatchling. Players compete with each other to see who can amass the greatest hoard of gold. As they gain more experience and grow into larger, more capable dragons, they will also face challenges of slayers who are out for blood. With 9 rounds to play, it will be a tight race who can be the most infamous Woym. Well, there you go. This really looks interesting, and it really looks good. And I think it's something that I'm going to try to check out. They're going to be doing a second printing. It really, really has this unique work. So definitely check it out. Whelps to Worms on BGG.com. And I believe they'll point you in the right direction. Thank you, Matthew, for sending that. We always appreciate it. That's for sure. I always appreciate hearing from all of you. And if you want to email me at novaprime860@hotmail.com. All right. Let's get with our next letter. Our next letter is from Mark in New York City. Boy, it's supposed to be cold up there this weekend. Stay safe, my friend, because you're supposed to get a ton of rain, and then you are going to freeze your tuchus off. That's for doggone sure. Rob, what is the best spaceship game you've ever played? Now, this is a really, really tough question because I played a whole bunch of them. I'm a big fan of Full Thrust. The old Fastest stuff, Interceptor, Renegade, and all that stuff. And then Fastest just came out with a newer version of Interceptor that we talked about earlier on this podcast, not on this one, but in a prior episode. But I think when it comes down to it, I just have this very, very warm spot for Silent Death. Yeah, I just remember playing on a Friday night with all my friends and my son when he was real small, and just having a blast. We used to have these asteroid fields. We homebrewed some rules, and it was just a lot of fun. But there are just so many great games out there. Babylon 5 was one that was great. The ships were beautiful. How can we forget Battlefleet Gothic and everything that they did? They need to bring that back. They need to bring that back. It was just so glorious. But definitely, I would say right now, Silent Death just has a special place in my heart. And yeah, the guy that writes me every week in the comments, hey, are you gonna, you need to play Silent Death. I promise I will get to it at some point in the coming year. That's a promise. Donna from Washington has written me and said, Rob, what is the best Euro game, even though it's not your style of game, that you have ever played? Now, I think she wrote this is because, you know, if I really like the Euro game, it has to be really pretty good, because Euro games are really not my thing too much. There have been some really great ones that have come out recently. Rome, the Rome one. Oh, I forgot the name of it. Forgive me. Jeez, what's the other one that was really good? Runes of, oh God. See, that shows you how good I am. Wingspan, I thought was very good, which was really special. Ark Nova, I believe it's called. That was very good. The zookeeping one, I thought was very different, and I like that. But I think if I had to pick a favorite, you know, people say Agricola. Matter of fact, that was the first game I ever played. Agricola was the first game I ever played at a convention. Okay, I went to the Dice Tower Con. There was 300 people, and Agricola just come out. These people grabbed me, and you know, I was kind of shy, without a doubt. And they go, hey, sit down and play this. We need an extra player. I go, well, all right. I tried to learn it. It was hard. They knew what they were doing. I got killed, of course. But I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the whole farming aspect, and I really developed, you know, a liking for our Euro games, you know, where I'm more of, I hate this word, American type games. I don't want to say Ameritrash. I think that's the stupidest thing. And there is no Euro trash. There's just games. Jeez. There's different styles of games, and you know, I there were games that I really enjoyed, and I liked that type of style. But the one that really stands out for me is Everdale. I really like that game. I like the tree. I like all the different resources. I like the solo aspect of it, where it's almost like a separate game, and you can do all this, you know, work replacement solo, and it played so well. A matter of fact, I did a video on the YouTube channel, and I thought it was just absolutely, you know, I had so much fun doing that, and people really enjoyed it, and I just really love that game. It's beautiful. The components are fantastic. Of course, I went and got the all in super edition, and really just love that game. So Everdale and all its expansions just stands out as one of my favorite all time Euro games, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. That's for sure. All right. So if you have any letters and you want to be included next week, make sure you email me at novaprime860@hotmail.com. Guys, the holidays are here. Merry Christmas to you all. My vacation officially started this morning with the doing of this podcast. So I'm excited about that. I have so much to do. And I'm excited to get all this stuff done. I've got some things I'm going to do and some more taping I'm going to be doing. And I'm excited to put up some videos over the next week, as well as do some live plays on the YouTube channel and a podcast next week. Doesn't sound like much of a vacation when it sounds like I'm working all the time. But it's going to be fun to share some stuff with you, and I'm looking forward to it. I wish you all the very best. Whether you believe or not, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Holidays. I wish you nothing but peace on earth for everyone and kindness for all. Be good to each other. Love each other. I love you all. Have a wonderful holiday. We'll talk to you on the other side. I'll let you know how Christmas went. Check out the YouTube channel, Rob's Tabletop World on YouTube, of course. Subscribe and like. Of course, give us a 5-star review here on the podcast because we have no idea what it means. And hopefully it's supposed to help this. We'll see. I don't know. And until when we come back next week with next week's episode, it's your old pal Rob saying, we'll see you soon, everybody. Have a great holiday.